We are in lesson 75 in the book of Ephesians, and if the Lord's willing and he tarries, then we'll hopefully finish this book within the next couple months, and then we can move on to something else for a little while. Hopefully the book of Daniel. I've been mentioning the book of Daniel for a while. That's a book of prophecy, and everybody, it seems like everybody wants to know about prophecy. Everybody wants to know what this, but they forget about the mystery program, don't they? And then when what we live in today. But the book of Ephesians, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. And be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Now, there's three consequences or manifestations of being filled with the Spirit. We already talked about the first one is a joyful heart, Ephesians chapter 5, 19. Singing and making melody and where? In your heart. And how are you filled with the Spirit today? What was the verses that we looked at as a, not a contradiction, but a con, not a contradiction, but partners or sister verse to being filled with the Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit today? Through the Word of God. Let the Christ dwell in you what? Richly. Let the Word of Christ. So being filled with the Spirit is getting that Word down inside of you. It's not like a cup and you're empty and God said, okay, see how good you are, and he pours the Spirit in you, and then you're not good no more, and he cuts the Spirit off. It's not that. Each one of us has the Spirit of God inside of us. And when you get the right doctrine inside of you and you start tapping that in, you'll know how to handle things differently. You know how to make decisions differently. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The second is a thankful heart, a thankful attitude. That's verse 20. And this manifestation of being filled with the Spirit is giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A thankful attitude towards God. And that's, you know, that you know something? That's the greatest single act of worship that you can render to God is the act of thanksgiving. It's not how good you sing. It's not how much you give to the church. It's not having a perfect attendance. It's being thankful to God and all things. And that's tough, guys. You know that? That's very, very tough. People always want to know the will of God in their lives, don't they? You know, and you sit there and you probably want what God wants me to do. And I listen to people all the time. Well, you know, the Lord will guide you this way. If the Lord's willing, he'll move you here, he'll move you there. And I'm listening to that, and they mean well. They really mean well. But is that how God does today? How do you know the will of God? You know, one of the things is the verse to give them, where you're at. Ephesians 5, go to Romans chapter 8, get Romans chapter 8. And one of the verses you can share with them as you're going back to, I'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is? What? Give thankful, be thankful, give thanks, and everything gives thanks. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18 if you want to know what the will of God is. So there's a lot of things about the will of God, don't get me wrong, but this is one thing. Say, hey, are you thankful? You know what? So being thankful is when you're thankful and you are grateful and your attitude is grateful, you know what you do? You sacrifice yourself. You ever notice that? You know, you don't think about me, I. As you know, I'm a trainer, and last week I had to go with a guy, and I'm listening to him, and the negativity coming out of him, and he thought the world was against him, and just because me riding with him, there must be something bad wrong, because, you know, that's the way they do sometimes. They stick me with people that's got, you know, minor issues or big issues, and they want me to work with them, and he's just, like, negative. And we left Wooster going down the Belmont, Ohio, and I'm listening to this. I said, you know something, you got to stop. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm just like, because I'm trying to make 1,001 not excuses, but what's the other word? Excuses
reasonings
to why he's that way. And finally, I just told him, I said, it's all about you, buddy. You know, I don't want to hear nothing else from you, because all it is negative, and it's all woe is me, and you don't see anything wrong that you're doing. So I didn't talk with him for like another hour, you know. And then we got there, and then the poor old guy, I felt sorry for him, because he done called his wife and said he's jumping out the next truck stop. And that's what he told me. And I said, you don't want to do that. I said, you're abandoning it. You abandon this truck, you won't work again. And not only are you abandoning this truck, you're abandoning me. Well, you can drive. And I said, no, that's your truck. So he calmed down a little bit. We wasn't ugly towards each other. It was just the fact that I'm hitting him with some reality. So when you think about when you got a grateful heart attitude, and this is what I was trying to share with him, the knowledge that he has, the ability that he has, he should be thankful for what he's doing. So you'll probably think I'm the worst trainer in the world. But, you know, he agrees. Be straight face. You know, lay it out there. He don't sugarcoat nothing. And so why should I sugarcoat anything? So when it comes to the Word of God, when you're thankful and grateful for all things, it does make a difference. You know, over the holidays, was probably by yourself sometime, you're sitting there and your kid's over here or your family member's over there and you're like, you know, oh, well, it's... No, be grateful in all things. So the third, you'll see the circumcision or the problem or the pain. You see beyond the plan of God. In other words, thanksgiving is a reality, of an expression of faith. You're going to put faith in being thankful. Where did I tell you to go?
Romans 8,
verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He has also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? Everything, every time something good or bad happens, every time you experiencing suffering, whatsoever these things, the difficulties, the undeserved sufferings, the pain that you're going through, He talks about it in that verse right there. The verse is, and all these things are productive. They're productive in our lives as we do them. They do not produce bitterness, if you think about it, in our life. Like they did before we were saved. Well, before you were saved and understanding the Word of God, the will of God, you was most miserable in these things. Oh, woe is me. It's what I was sharing the guy in his situation. We are a part of God's program, guys, and now we respond to the circumstances and situations around us. We should know how to deal with things. Sometimes I know we forget. You know, and we might blurt out some things or act towards things that, like, I really didn't want to do that. That's not God in me doing this. It's Ed in me doing this. You know, that type of thing. So I just know we got some issues. When bad circumstances of difficulties come, most people look out there and try to say this or that about the circumstances. That's what I shared with the young man I was with. He was always, it's always this. This guy's against me. The windshield was all that nasty on my side. And he said, well, it's okay with me. I said, you don't say it. I'm sitting over here. I need to see out this windshield. So to his circumstances, it's okay. His windshield was like almost as bad as mine. So the circumstances that you're in can be a part of your attitude towards things, can't they? Mm-hmm. You know, it's cold and bitter out there. How many dressed for the weather today? You know, if you didn't, like we was talking about, if you didn't dress for this weather today, you'd be most miserable. You'd be back there shivering. You know, looking for a throw to put on you and all that stuff. You know, when I'll be looking at you, I'm like, here, take my coat. You know, and you know, that type of thing. But you got to dress for the occasions. You got to think about these things. Some may say, you know, God causes things to happen to teach you a lesson. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
How many has thought it themselves? You know, God's teaching you a lesson. You know, they lose that all that you have and etc. You know, God's teaching you. You better get back in church. You know, you better quit going. God don't act that way, guys. You know that, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know, sicknesses come. We're getting sick. Our health starts to deteriorate over the years. We once was a young buck, if you can, you know, jumping fence posts and running through woods and, you know, carrying on. Now you're just like, go ahead. You know, I'll catch up with you later. You know, that type of thing. So when you come to realization of that, it makes, but you're still grateful in things, guys. Those things are natural calamities because why? What kind of world do we live in?
Sin.
A sin-cursed world. And God has not stopped this world. He came to save the world. And what did they do to him? Crucified him. He came to establish his kingdom on earth with the nation Israel. What did they do to him? We have no king but Caesar. So now he's in royal exile. The world's still spinning. Who's the God of this world?
Satan.
Who's the prince of power of the air?
Satan.
So that's the one who's controlling it. So that hasn't stopped. And when those things happen in our life and you either fall to pieces and go crazy or you have those things, you know, on your eyes on the circumstances, but put your eyes on what God's doing. That's where we should be focused, on what he's doing. And rest your confidence in what he's doing. Let me ask you this. What is he doing today?
Saving the dying
world. God's will to have what?
All men to be saved.
And come to what?
Knowledge.
That's one of his wills. He don't want anybody to perish. And God's not saying you're going to hell and you're going to heaven. You made that choice. He's got a plan. He's got a will. And you can see his purpose and see the whole issue in his purpose. And you know what? That should make us grateful. I guarantee you right now, if you tap into what Jesus Christ did at you at Calvary and what he's doing today, you got a grateful heart. You know, and that grateful heart should be big enough to be grateful to each other and grateful to all circumstances. Go to James chapter 1. By the things that we talked about, the calamity, the life-changing situations. They're not going to overcome what God's doing. I don't care how big you think you are. God's got a plan, the master plan. And I said go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, you know who the book of James is written to, right? What does the first verse say? 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, we jokingly say, what tribe are you from? You know, and, you know, some people say, I'm from Levi. I'm from, you know, I'm like, really? That's a good, you know, they must go ancestry.com and DNA and all that stuff. But anyway, I said, go to James chapter 1, verse 2 says, My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, knowing what? Now he's talking to the 12 tribes, but he says, knowing this. Knowing what?
Temptation.
Not only that, but what does it say before that? Count it with what?
All
joy. In other words, be happy when you have different kinds of temptation that comes along. That's hard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, temptations can lead you into bad situations. You know, we're tempted all the time, whether it's food, drink, work, play, music, movies, whatever. We're all tempted in certain things. And do you ever get happy when trouble comes? You don't, do you? Most people saying, oh my gosh, man, my son's going to be doing this. I feel for him. He's scared. He thinks about getting out of the military. He's got 8 months to go. And, you know, he wants to move to South Carolina where nobody knows nobody. And, you know, and your heart's feeling for it. So you guess what? I'm looking for a house in South Carolina. I'm ready to move there and start work tomorrow just for all my kids. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, let me settle down a little bit. You know, South Carolina will be nice, but you seen the weather here this week? Yeah, it's cold. It's snowing. It's icing all over. But look, you don't get happy when trouble comes. Now, when you think about James and what he's talking about, whom he's talking about, he's talking to a bunch of Israelites, 12 tribes scattered abroad, and you talk about some folks that are going to have some problems. The book of James is talking about a situation that they're going to have to endure in times of Jacob trouble over here, tribulation period. So the book of James is good. They're going to take the book of James like, it's almost like the book of Job that the Moses and the Israelites had for 400 years in Egypt. You know what trouble they had down there? You know the history about them. But they had a book of Job. What's the book of Job do? Patience. Looking for a redeemer. So that's much what the book of James is about. He counts it as joy. And this is a tribulation epistle. And these Jews will be having real problems, guys. And you don't have any problems compared to what they're going to have in a tribulation period. Now, tribulations work as patience. Paul tells us you go through tribulations. But it ain't going to be nothing like they're going to over there when they get their heads cut off and, you know, get starved. And we have not experienced that yet. Some say it may be coming, but if it does, we should know some things already. We should know that at any time any of us lose our job? Mm-hmm. Could any time somebody say, okay, we don't need you no more? You done your time, you're out the door. That'd be some trouble, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. That'd be
Union Metal.
Yeah, you know, you can name a lot of companies that went out of business. But also these little companies, you know, they're striving and compare it, and you're counting on that paycheck and all that stuff. But when he says he counts it all joy, rejoice in the Lord when you begin to have all kinds of trouble. And when you do, what do you do when trouble comes? Right now, what do you do when trouble comes?
Should be running to the scriptures.
But we don't. We begin
perspective in light of God's word.
That's what you know, but what do we usually do?
We pray to God.
We pray to God, but we moan.
Yeah.
We groan. You know, oh, woe is me. And we gripe and we grumble. I've done that. And sometimes I still do that.
Why me?
Yeah. You know, I'm like, and then I got to sit back a little bit thinking, I got to relax. See, got to take a deep breath. Am I clearing? My eyes clear up a little bit. And well, you know what that is when you moan and groan and have those type of responses? You know what kind of response it is?
Human nature.
And what does that lead to? Sinful responses. You know, that type of thing. And that's how we do. We don't respond to what Jesus Christ has put into us. Some of us may. Some of us may right off the bat say, you know something? It's, you know how easy it is to say, I know what you're going through, and give them the advice that they need out of scriptures, and you turn around and you stumble and you fall, and next thing you know, you're like, I've got to practice what I preach, you know what I mean? Sometimes we don't. But look, if you're filled with the Spirit and walking in line with God is doing today, what are you going to do? You're going to what? Have the mind properly adjusted and under the dominion of the Holy Spirit is what's doing today. You know, you're not going to, you know, ooh. No, you're going to say, the Word of God's inside of me. I'm going to adjust. I'm going to make some decisions. And this is big, guys. And a lot of things. And you know what? I don't want to start crying and stuff. But I told my wife yesterday, I said, well, maybe I should put it on. But anyway, it had to do with the kids. You know, when you worry about your kids and stuff, you're like, you know, I want to bestow this knowledge and this, you know, experience on our kids, their wisdom. And, you know, if you die today, who's going to give it to them? You know, so they have to learn it on their own. So I was with Josh over the holidays, and he's like, Dad, you've been through a lot. man, you got a lot of stories, and you should write a book. I'm like, who would read it? You are an open book. You know that. You've heard that all times. But the thing is like you want our kids to understand what we're doing and what they could do now and making decisions now. And then you're like, sometimes you just sit back and say, well, they'll learn. You know, and all you can do is, my wife would say, well, all you can do is love them. Well, you love them anyway. But anyway, if you have the Word of God, Christ dwelling in you, what are you going to do, guys? He says, in everything give thanks. And you should be able to count it all joy. And when you fall into diverse temptations, that's what we should be thankful for. It's coming. I know if I don't pay my bills, they're going to shut my lights off. It's coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, pay the bill, right? Pay something on the bill. You know, so that's the mentality. If you have the Word, if nobody just goes out and gets in trouble and gets sick and has headaches. Nobody does that. But you know what? We know about sickness, don't we? We know about death. We know about loved ones getting sick and to death. We buried their daddies. We buried their mamas. You know, we buried a lot of folks. And we know about that, don't we? And we know about the pain of heart and anguish of the soul that goes through that. Do we not? Do we not sorrow for people that lost lives and sorrow for one another? But we should know this. James, you're still in James. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting what?
Nothing.
Now you might be saying, well, preacher, the book of James ain't to me. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. And whatso was written aforetime was written for our learning. We can learn from these things. You know, I'm not the one to say, go ahead and apply this verse to you. You got a verse, if you want a verse, we just read it in Romans chapter 8. Verses. But this is something about giving thanks. And if you know what God is doing in your life and what you are a part of, you can get in those kinds of circumstances and you can rejoice. And out of trial and difficulties, God is going to bring a perfect and maturity in your soul. That's what we should be striving for. I always tell people all the time, learning right division is an educational process. I mean, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to study. Well, that's what God said to do. Study to show thyself approved, didn't he? And it's a learning process. And when you study the Word of God rightly divided, and you apply those epistles, Paul's epistles, to your life, it's going to make a difference in your life and in your soul, to where you are being perfected in what God's wanting you to do here in the nasty now and now. And then when you get in a sweet by and by, it's not going to be such a, I didn't know all that, Lord. Why didn't you tell me? You have my books. And then how you adjust to that is where you're going to be placed in eternity. That's the way I believe. What you do when you're studying for a science test, what books are you going to be studying? You don't study math books to take a science test. I'm sorry. That don't work. You get an F. You don't get participation award. Yeah. Oh, you was here. You know, try your best. No. It don't say that. Because the circumstances is going to cause you to quit looking at the things out there and start looking on the things in here and seeing more what God is doing. Listen, guys, many of us are not spring chickens in here no more. And I know the older that we get, the more comfortable we are about our hope. Nobody's going to take your hope away, is it? You know, nobody's going to take the hope that Christ Jesus is going to come back and get you and change your body and put you in the heavenly places. You know, they could try to drag that out of you. many of you right now, if they came in here and cut your attempted to cut your head off, if you don't denounce Jesus Christ, all this stuff, you would probably say, "Go ahead. I know where I'm going to go. I'm not scared to die." You know, that type of thing. If you understand what God is doing today, you'll know what to look for, guys. And if you don't know what God is doing today and don't have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly, and you're going to start looking around at all kinds of other things. You ever notice, and if you want to call them brothers and sisters in Christ, you can, that's very religious, and they do this and that, and they're out there grasping at every little thing because the wind blows this way, they think God's doing that. You know, they flood down here, they think God's doing that. You ever notice that they don't have no stability in the Scriptures like you do? You could say, "Hey man, the world's like that. God has not stopped that." You know, sickness is coming because we have diseases on it. We live in a sin-cursed world. There's going to be a time that we're not going to have to worry about sicknesses. See, that's what I know what God's doing. Then when you give thanks to God, you are giving to God in the ultimate of your worship. Because you are recognizing and you're walking in the line what God is doing. Giving thanks always for what? All things. When should you give thanks?
All things.
And everything give. Yeah, there you go. And everything give thanks. And I'm telling you, man, that's hard to do. And sometimes I'm going to use the word backslide, but I'm not using the way Israel backslide. But I'm just saying sometimes you just take it for granted. You got a warm house. You take it for granted. My wife made eggs and a bagel this morning, which was about 300 some calories, which I'm watching my calories. But it was good. I was thankful, wasn't it? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go out to a Chinese buffet over there, when you sit down, are you thankful for that? You know, and everything give thanks. You know, my back's been sore where I've just been sitting for 2 weeks. Is that good for you? No, not when you're used to getting up, walking, and you know, and exercising stuff. And I was wondering, my back's sore. And then I got out, and you know, yesterday, and my sinus was stuffed up, and my throat was started getting sore. And I said, "You know, I feel like I'm getting sick." "You're not getting sick. You're not getting sick. You look okay. You look okay." I'm like, I should say, I'm thankful for being sick, you know, or thankful that I think I'm being sick, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, you go on back and forth. But look, there's three different categories. We got a few more minutes. I haven't seen y'all in a couple weeks, right? If you need to go, you know where to go. Don't go. Be thankful when you go. But look, there's three different categories, time-wise, in which people give thanks. The first one, you give thanks after a battle is over with. Do you not? I'm glad that's over with. I'm glad Cleveland Brown season's over with. You know, can't wait for the Indians. You know, Cavaliers still playing. Looks a little, you know, iffy, but you came through it, you got victory, and everything is over. And then you lift up the song of Moses as they did in Exodus 15. You know, Pharaoh was defeated and he was drowned. They get on the other side of the Red Sea, delivered, the enemy is destroyed, and they sing high praises to Jehovah. Is that a good thing to sing? Mm-hmm. Good time to sing too, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When you got victory in Jesus. We sing that all the time. You know, we know the victory is there. We know the battle's even won. The battle's over, guys, with death for you. You know that, don't you? Death, where is their sting? There is no sting, victory in death. You're going to live again. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that something to be proud about and thankful about? But that is easy to time to sing, isn't it? It's easy to know when things go your way. And you get good reports. And you get, you know, your children. And, you know, I bring my children up a lot. But, you know, it is what it is. You know. Bring my wife up a lot too. But it is what it is. Not just joking. But look, thing is, look. People give thanks after the battle won. And after it's over with. You see victory and you rejoice. And you ought to do it then, right? You know, when this service will be over in the next couple minutes, you're probably going to be praising God and hallelujah and giving thanks. I'll be thanking for you, just the same. Hope to see you next week and all that good stuff. But the second category is you give thanks at the beginning of the battle. Now, this is different, ain't it? We always give thanks after the fact. You know, Abby won her basketball game yesterday, right? You know, and Deb probably was jumping up and down and giving thanks, you know, after the battle. But I guarantee you they probably got in a huddle and gave thanks God for the beginning of that battle or the beginning of the game. You know, many of us give thanks, you know, should give thanks before we go to work every morning because there's a battle there, aren't they? And all that. In other words, they look out and anticipate the victory by faith. Ain't got nothing over me. I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm going to take my time and do the right things. They know the victory is going to come. And they can operate on the basis of Romans 8, 28 through 30 that we just read a little while ago. You can do that. And they know that the light affliction is but for what? A moment works far more exceeding in eternal weight and glory, doesn't it? So they say, okay, I know by faith what the end is going to be. Can't you say that? I mean, before you got up this morning, knowing that it's cold outside, knowing that you may have extra things to do today that you really don't want to do, but you say, thank you, Lord. You know, I'm going to give thanks for everything. It's going to be a good day. I know that at the end of it, it's going to be okay. And because whatever the outcome is, live or die, I'm still in you. That's some good stuff, man. And I'm going not to worry about this. And they can rejoice now at the beginning and to pace in the battle. You know what Jesus did in John chapter, if you want to write this down, John chapter 11, verses 39 through 41. Go there for a minute. John chapter 11. John.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 11. John chapter 11. How do you know whose Lazarus was?
Yeah.
Lazarus was a really good friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. You know. And he walks, well, if you know the story, for chapter 11, 39 through 41. You know, he goes there and the stone's laid upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stones, verse 39. And Martha, the sister of him, said he's dead. And said to the Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, I'm not unto thee, verse 40, that thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took a stone away from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said what? Father, I thank you. See what? Before he even began, he thanked the Lord. He thanked the Father for what was about to happen. Man, can you imagine that? Listen, many of us are sick. Many of us are going through some things. Can you imagine going in the doctor's office and say, Father, I thank you for what about's going to happen. Whatever report, good or bad, I thank you. That's, you know, that takes faith, man. It takes faith to do that. And he then went out, and what'd he do? He did it. But this is a little more difficult. It's harder to thank God ahead of time because you have to walk by what? And many, I don't care what you say, you can believe the verse upside down, sideways, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But I guarantee you, many of us want to see something happen. We want to see the results. Sometimes I don't want to know the results because I fear something bad going on. But what my mentality should be, say, those results, whether good or bad, it don't make no difference to me. I'm thankful to the Father in all things. And everything, and I know the victory is coming, and I see it, and I know the ultimate end. So the plan of victory, and you rejoice it. It's in the plan, isn't it? It's already victory. You know, I don't know how much I can stress that. I think you know where I'm talking about. that's important, you know, especially get as old as I am. You know, my body's breaking down. I should be thankful, you know, and all that stuff. But there's another category, and this is the last one, and that is more difficult. It's the most difficult, to rejoice in the middle of what appears to be a losing battle. To rejoice in the midst of what appears to be a certain defeat, death. Your mom dies of cancer, and you're sitting there watching her die. Your dad died, your best friend, your children, whatever case, your animals. You know, sometimes that brings heart, defeat, you know, and all that stuff because you're close to them. But in the middle of that battle, and that's probably the most important. Go to Acts chapter 16. It's probably the hardest. And rejoicing is the most... when you rejoice in that, it really brings out the true Christian character in you. I watched many of you going through some things, and you know what? You'll grab a hand and pray with somebody. You know, let's give thanks. Let's go to the Father in prayer. You know, and I know I don't know what you would say, but I'm pretty sure you're thankful for some things. Let's just be thankful that we know the people. You know, let's be thankful that they're saved. You know, if they're saved, that's something to rejoice for. And in Acts 16, verse 23, says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon him," this is Paul and Silas in the prison, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast and stocked." Not only did he put them in prison, but put them in the inner prison after he beat them. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas grumbled and groaned and complained to God, 'Oh, woe is me. I'm in the jailhouse now,' and all that stuff." What did they do? Prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What do you reckon those guys had to praise to God about?
Being saved. Having Christ in them.
God counted them worthy.
Well, yeah, the joy. You know, like, you know, knowing what Paul went through and knowing what he's going to go through and knowing that what he's going to receive, it didn't bother him. He's probably singing joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know, he's probably saying, "Lord, come quickly." He probably might have been singing the song of Moses. Who knows? But it was being thankful. It wasn't, "Whoa, whoa, it's me. Come and get me out of here," you know, and all that stuff.
They were probably thankful there was somebody else with them, too. They weren't alone.
They weren't alone. There was somebody with them. And not only, you know, personally with them, right? Friend right beside them, but they know who else was with them.
Christ.
Hey, you know them three little Hebrew guys that got cast in that furnace? Did they have a fear? Did they have a complaint? "No, don't take me. I'll change my name back." You know, all that stuff. No, go ahead. And who was with them in the fire? The Lord was, wasn't he? There was four guys in that fire. And they come out and they didn't even smell like a cinder. You know, I'd be thankful too. That's before the victory, because they didn't change nothing, did they? And now even during the victory and after the victory, we're still not going to bow down to you. And all that stuff. In fact, didn't Nebuchadnezzar make them governors and stuff after that? Or maybe there was before. That jailer, he was probably saying, "What do those guys have to praise about down there?" And what did he do? You know, he's saying, like, they might have a chance to get out of here tomorrow. They're not getting out of there tomorrow. They're casting into prison. And, you know, he looked at the hopeless situation, and yet those guys are giving praise to God, giving thanks to God. And do you think that they felt like being thankful? Would you, after being beaten to the inches of your life, and taken down there and thrown in and where the rats and being chained to the wall and running all over you and all that stuff, is that something to be thankful about? You know, later on, you know, the guy the jailer gets them out, or lets them out, and he takes them and washes their stripes, don't he? That jailer does. And imagine the blood running down and caking on your clothes. And did you ever pull a bandage off when it was already caked? It hurts, don't it? And all that stuff going across your body and all that stuff. And do you really think those guys felt very thankful? You would have probably been saying, you know, why, Lord? Why me? You know, what's the matter with me? And all that stuff. You would grumble. But Paul and Silas are down there praising God. And in the midst of the grunts and the groans and the torture, they're praising God. And then you know there's other prisoners down there. They understood what God was doing and what he's going to do on the word of Christ dwelling in them. And that caused them to sing. And all of a sudden, the gratitude and joy and thanksgiving begins to come out. During that time, listen, you probably know people that's laid on that bed dying, but yet still giving thanks to God. Ain't you? And you're like, wow, what a witness. You know, wouldn't you want to be the same way? Yeah. You know, a thankful person is always going to be a humble person. And there's something about being grateful, isn't it? And when you find people that are not humble, you'll find people that are not grateful. And when you find somebody that is filled with gratitude, you'll always find with somebody with a humble heart. I'm going to close right there, and we'll pick up this again next week and close out on this second thing. But you think about 1 Corinthians 4:6, where he comes in the passage and looks at all the time you feel that you want to strut around. You know, you had these Corinthians strutting around, not being grateful. And Paul says, you're not grateful. You got to have a grateful heart in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.